Come, Holy Spirit, and renew the face of the earth. We believe that in your light, we see light. Amen. Please be seated. So Pentecost is a Hebrew festival. It's also called the Feast of Shavuot. It's the feast of ingathering where people would bring the first fruits. It was also a day when they celebrated the receiving of the Torah, the law. So it was a big festival. It was one of the top three festivals, pilgrimage festivals. And many would have been in Jerusalem still from Passover. So the church was full of pilgrims, full. And so this crowd that gathers in Acts chapter 2, they're all there drawn by God to begin with. And so they hear this thing. They hear this sound. Is it the rush of the mighty wind, or is it this utterance that this group of perhaps 100 and 120 are making in this house? Is it an open courtyard? How do they hear this? It just is a lot going on all at once. And God works through this. It drives some of us crazy. We want one thing at a time to begin and end, and then the next thing to begin and end, and then the next thing. That's how we like it. Acts chapter 2, it sounds like a few things are going on all at once. Some people were bewildered, some were perplexed, some were sarcastic. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in a variety of ways in Scripture. And it's a very interesting study to look in the Old Testament to see how the Holy Spirit came upon people. Think about Ezekiel. It was the Spirit of God who translated him to another realm and gave him a vision, this valley of dry bones. We have 3D technology where we can put on goggles and look around. We have it on our phones. It's amazing. Well, can you imagine Ezekiel being plopped down in a valley, and everywhere he looked, he was surrounded by dry bones. It was his full body experience. And then when he heard the bones rattling, can you imagine how that would have unhinged him? Like, what on earth is going on? The fact that that was the nation Israel, a picture of the nation Israel in exile. What hope was there in that image for the nation Israel? Zero. The bones were very dry. They were an exiled nation. What in your life ranks kind of with that? There is zero chance that that's ever going to happen, to be reconciled with someone, to be healed of something, to get over a burden that perhaps has been lifelong, to get out of debt, whatever it may be. What is that area of your life? And then I ask, what is that area of our church's life where the likelihood is probably zero? And how do we invite God into that place? How are we invited by God into that place if, in fact, God wants to do a work of power, of grace, of wisdom, and of love? Bones are referred to in the first reading, this prophecy of Ezekiel, 32 times. I think the point is you need to be in deep need and acknowledge your need, and that there's nothing beyond God's power. The bones are simply bones until the breath of God, the ruach of God, the Hebrew breath, spirit. At creation, the spirit moved over the face of the deep. Creation was spoken into being. So spirit, breath, they're all aspects of one another, and they're very powerfully woven together here in the first reading. Also clearly in Luke's shorthand, was he taking notes? Did he reflect later on this incredible day when the Spirit came? What was it like to wait, to be obedient to Jesus and to wait? Wait, he said, on that ascension day. Wait until what? Do you remember? Wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. I must go, Jesus said, so that I can send to you the Paraclete, the one that's called alongside to help, the one who empowers for ministry. The color is red today for fire, that's for sure, but also for witness, that we are to witness God's amazing deeds in the world. Not something from the internet that you read, but we're to witness to the amazing deeds in our own lives and to share them and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is great. I believe that Luke's writing together, writing in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, is one that we would do well to become familiar with if we're not already. The disciples, we're told, after Jesus' death, were together in a locked room for fear of the Jewish authorities. And so they were huddled together. We don't know the number exactly, but clearly more than 11. And in this case, there could have been 100, perhaps 120 even, of this fuller complement of the Jesus followers. And so Jesus then appeared, and between the resurrection and the ascension, appeared to many, up to 500 at a time. And they were often together, and Jesus came amongst them and said, peace be with you. And so there was some state of anxiety. What do we do now? What on earth do we do now? The person on whom we hung all of our hopes is gone. What are our hopes? They're about zero. And then Jesus rose again from the dead. This is the heart of our faith. So to talk about luck, I'd try not to. You were lucky. Well, perhaps, but how about blessed of God, that God is at work in my life, and I give glory to God for these great deeds that he's done. So there was this full sort of surround sound, 365-degree experiential education that God is embarking upon. A sound of a violent wind that filled the entire house. It sounds terrifying. If you've ever been in a hurricane or a tornado, you know what that sounds like. And then fire among them and then on each one of them. Very unusual. And so these 15 language groups that are mentioned here by Luke have come for the Passover and then stayed for this feast of first fruits. All nations are gathered together, and that's a prophetic act. That is a prophetic signal that God is working to bring all creation to himself. It's interesting to note that on this feast of the offering of first fruits, they were told to take 2 loaves of leavened bread. And I just think of Marge Doyle here with these 2 loaves, right? Beautifully baked. And they were to wave them in front of the Lord. It was called a wave offering. Nice, eh? A wave offering. And it's reflected upon that 2 loaves, was it one for Israel and then one for the nations? Could that have been the symbol and sign? And so we see here in the book of Acts that the all nations were gathered. And was it a miracle of speaking as the Spirit came upon the followers of Jesus, or was it on the hearing? I'm not going to take sides there. I just submit that to you. Each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. And they said, these are Galileans, aren't they? They shouldn't know Parthian or the language of the Medes. They shouldn't know the language of Cyprus or Cyrene or Rome. They shouldn't know that language. And yet I hear very clearly them speaking of God's deeds of power. And then they did something, as Luke records it, that I think is so, so important for us. They asked, what does this mean? They were faced with something that was beyond their experience. And they asked, what does this mean? Some were bewildered, some were perplexed, some were sarcastic, and yet there were a group who said, what does this mean? And I think we would do well to ask that in this place, at this time, as we have been working to clarify God's vision for us and in us and through us, God's mission that needs a church. That's God's plan. God's mission needs a church to move it forward and to express it, to express God's deeds of power. We've been through kind of phase one of information gathering and this re-clarifying of God's mission through this church called St. Cuthbert. And we pause and ask then, what does that mean? What does this mean? We had a town hall meeting to get at that a little bit. And as I've said before, I think we've identified our deep joy, the deep joy of St. Cuthbert. It's born in community of welcome, generosity, and hospitality. I think that's what I heard is our deep joy. Our children, our multi-generational worship, our variety of worship, the life in our worship, which we've experienced this morning. We've also talked about three priorities. One is creating a vital ministry to and with youth and young adults. The other is the stewardship of both finances and volunteering. We need to refresh the faithful stewards that are here today. We need to gather in a new group to come in and strengthen that. And also the third is to steward our property and lands and buildings in light of this clarifying mission as God leads us. And so these two next steps, they're in a little insert in your bulletin. One is to have a special meeting of parish council, inviting all people to come and discuss ministry to and with our youth and young adults. We're inviting youth from grade 6 and older to come and be part of that. Parents, please come. All who have a vested interest in our youth, everyone is welcome to discuss this priority we have. The second one is also in your bulletin announcement. A speaker is coming to our men's breakfast, and we're opening that up for everyone from 9:30 to 10:30. So I commend that to you. These are ways we've asked, what does this mean? How do we move ahead? We're also talking about meeting with Delta's social planner. Having identified our deep joy, we need to, I think, identify the community's greatest need. And where can we meet that deep joy and our community's greatest need? And so we're inviting Gillian McLeod, and we're going to post that meeting time shortly. In the midst of that, we're seeking a new music minister. As Colleen comes to a juncture in her ministry among us, and we're going to say goodbye to her, and we're looking for a new music minister on organ and piano. And so we gather together. Some of us are bewildered, amazed, and perplexed, perhaps, by the numbers of changes among us. May we be driven to pray. And in the midst of it, remember this declaration of God's power. As we say, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. We say it, let's wait upon it and seek that. Lastly, the point has been made that the rushing of the wind and the flames of fire, as dramatic as they were and sort of huge impact that they had, was not the end result. It was this renewal of the Holy Spirit. That was the focal point. Receiving the gift and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I find that once I'm filled, my human condition is to leak. And so I need to be refreshed in that filling of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it kind of gets knocked out of me, and I lose that freshness. The disciples were filled in fulfillment of a promise. The disciples were filled as they received in faith. The disciples were filled by merely showing up. They were filled in God's timing. They were together in unity, and they were filled in unusual ways. But it was essential for the work of the church to move forward. And so may we assess what God's called us to first be in Him and then do. And some of us might think that the chances of that ever happening are pretty much zero. And yet, may God's vision be alive in us, and let us remember the rattling of the bones and this faithful small group, and through their faithfulness, an expression of the ministry and mission that God had called them to, here we are. So happy birthday, church, and may we at St. Cuthbert continue in this proclamation of these amazing deeds of God.